One year into a forced experiment in K-12 education, school systems, teachers, and students have learned how to be nimble amid constantly shifting structures. But it hasn't been easy, and in most cases, it hasn't produced the revolution, large or small, that many educators and parents were hoping for when it comes to fixing what's broken in education. We wanted to check back in with a couple of folks who went into the pandemic hopeful that it was an opportunity to reimagine the weak points of K-12 education. Matinga Ragatz is an education consultant and a frequent guest on Stateside. Matinga, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
And with her is Jessica Matthews. She's a teacher at Carmen Ainsworth High School in Flint. Jessica, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me back.
So, Jessica, you just wrapped up your school day. Are you back in the classroom?
I am. We went back to the classroom at the end of January.
What has it been like for you?
Chaotic. I don't know another way to put it. It's a brand new experience. We have the hybrid model, so we have one group that comes Monday, Tuesday, another group that comes Thursday, Friday. Wednesdays, the kids stay home, but the teachers still come in. We do office hours, meetings, all those extra things on Wednesday. And it's a difficult process to go through.
So it's been chaotic for you. Do you feel that that chaos is also reflected for your students as well?
I think so. It's different for them. We are working within the chaos, but it is a lot. It's a lot to remember and deal with schedules. A lot of them are sad because they don't have all their friends with them because their friends might be in the other half of the alphabet, so they never see them. So it's still something we're all just trying to navigate through.
Have most or all of the teachers in your school been able to get vaccinated?
Most have. We're lucky. I am fully vaccinated. I think in the next 2 weeks, everyone who wanted the first two rounds will have it, which is amazing and so much of a relief compared to when we started off together.
When you two came on the show back in May, you both expressed some hope that this pandemic might be an opportunity to reevaluate the weaknesses in our education system and how we do things wrong. So when we go back to that conversation and there was a level of optimism going forward about reimagining this world, now that you reflect on the past year and where we're heading, do you still feel a sense of optimism that things can change?
I was, a little bit desperate in the middle of the pandemic. At the beginning, we had high hopes. But we soon saw that people just kind of went retrieved right in their cave and tried to do what they were comfortable with as much as they could just to mitigate the chaos that Jessica just explained. But I don't know if it's the weather here in Michigan getting a little bit warmer, but I am starting to see an uptake on teachers really rethinking and really wishing that schools never go back to what we used to call normal.
I know that's been true of maybe a traditional office space. We've talked about that this week, about folks thinking, yes, I want to be back in the office, but I also would like to do some of my work from home and have more flexible day. But a teacher doesn't necessarily have that flexibility they can navigate. So, Jessica, how do you see those strengths or weaknesses being confirmed or denied over the past year?
Well, I feel less optimistic compared to the last time we talked, to be completely honest. What I'm seeing from my point of view and hearing the experiences of teachers around the country, they're literally trying to force us into the model we had before COVID. They are trying to rush students, all students, back into a building. They are trying to still do standardized testing. They are still asking for the same things with the sets up of grades. And I don't see a change. I think there were so many things we could have done with the system. And I think we could have blew the system up and just done some amazing things to change education to reach all children. But I'm not as optimistic as I was before, because I see we're literally trying to do it all over again. And it wasn't working for all students to begin with. So why do we keep revisiting old structures and trying to put them in place when we know deep down they weren't working for everyone to begin with?
It's very interesting, because the education machine continues to move forward no matter what. But there are some things that you cannot put back in the closet. There are some things that are not going to go back. Like this whole idea of remote learning is just simply here to stay. There's going to be a lot of parents who have realized that their students have blossomed in remote learning. A lot of introverted students who are not going to have to suffer bullying in school if it's an option. So yes, the system or the decision makers are trying to go back to what they understand. But I wonder if they're not only struggling against teachers who don't want to have that transition to go back to where it was, but also the system. There are so many things that are just so much more obvious now that work better than they did before.
Yeah, I keep thinking, what's a snow day or a sick day anymore for a kid, if not just an asynchronous learning day now?
Yeah, and asynchronous learning means I can learn in my own pace. There's so many teachers and so many educators leaving the profession that asynchronous education might be the option because you can handle more students when you are with less teachers. It's not the preferred option, but again, you're trying to push something. You're trying to cover the sun with a finger.
I completely agree. I think one thing that we have to think about is not only were there some students that thrive that way, there are some teachers who thrive with a different system too. And I don't think that we necessarily have to be Monday through Friday in that school space. I really don't think so. I think that I know for a fact I have some kids who came back and they are not doing as well as when they were at home. They're not. And then I have some kids who are doing wonderful because they're back in the building. But the thing is like with the hybrid format, the smaller classes, I'm able to address things one-on-one more than in usual setups, right? So if I have a class of like 7, I can spend a chunk of time with every single kid every single day. But when we go back to trying to shove everyone in and all my kids are there in my largest class, which is a class of 32, are we really setting them up to be successful by going back to what we did before COVID?
When we talk about people in a traditional office setting, being able to craft or reimagine what their work week or their work day looks like. If you could do the same for yourself as a teacher, what might your week look more close to?
If I had a decision of how to set up my week, I wouldn't mind going into the building like 3 times a week. I really don't mind that at all. I don't mind going in there doing, you know, lectures. I'm not much of a lecturer, but if needed, and having that FaceTime with the kids, but I don't have a problem with giving that asynchronous time to work. Even if it was 4 days a week and just give 1 day a week to kids to just do that asynchronous, let me be in my own space, let me do my own thinking at my own pace, not in these time things where we're telling people to shift with a bell. I don't see that being a struggle. I would love to have like 3-4 days a week in the building, one at home. If a kid needs me, office hours, let's chat it up, have one-on-one. It would make me probably a little bit more less stressed and less rushed.
And more efficient. I mean, remote learning, you get up earlier and you work longer hours. I'm not saying that's the solution, but I'm saying like, you know, some people are just more efficient when you don't have to commute. So it's a very tempting offer. And I think that if they are intending to keep the educators and continue to attract talent to the profession, we're going to have to put the changes in place, very similar to what Jessica has just suggested.
Matinka, have you seen evidence of any districts that are trying to completely reimagine this thing?
I have seen it nationwide. You know, I was just doing a professional development with teachers in Chicago Public Schools, and they were a specific school that were trying to move into project-based learning to really install some of these new ideas, specifically because project-based learning keeps the kids more engaged. So the kids are doing projects on their own at home. They're doing the asynchronous. It's not just worksheets. It's actually something that they are interested in. And they're going in and they're coming to class to share, to get feedback from their peers and to share with experts and get some really good critique. So I have seen some examples of schools doing some really, really cool things. But then I'm seeing also examples of people who are just wanting to keep the status quo because that is what they recognize, and they are afraid of changing things too much because of those test scores.
It also seems, Matinga, like it shouldn't be that all grades are created equal, right? As far as what the model looks like. It seems that it would make a lot of sense to go back to a traditional public school model with your youngest, earliest learners, your kindergartners through probably second or third grade, but that you could start to really mold and craft something different as they accelerate and as they go into their older grades. Don't you think that it could be reevaluated a little bit more on that age-based level?
Sure. You know, and with asynchronous models, we can see the disappearance of grades. You know, you are born in this year, so you have to continue to go with kids in school that are your exact age, right? And so a lot of kids will be working a lot faster and finishing school faster. A lot of kids will have the time to learn at their own pace. So I think if we really are considering the kids rather than the companies and the lobbyists who are trying to, you know, push themselves into the education complex, I think that we can do some really amazing things. And like every pandemic, it could really, really change the way we think about a situation like education.
There have been so many moments where I felt like we lost opportunities within the past year. Even from the outset, when we were discussing the significant impact of having great ventilation and just an open window in a classroom or moving classes to the outdoors. And I was a little gobsmacked that these major institutions that have a great amount of infrastructure to move curriculum and platforms and events and all sorts of things was sort of crippled by the inability to say, well, we know we need to open up windows. Let's make sure all of our windows can open. Jessica, how have some of these shortcomings been absorbed by kids or factored into their pandemic learning?
It's interesting because there's a lot of things that we were told before the pandemic not to do for safety that now we have to do. So like the example with the windows, like you have to open a window. You have to. Before, it was like, you know, open the windows if it's a nice day, but don't forget, you got to close them because, you know, intruder alerts or leaving a door open. That was a rarity because you always close your door because you didn't want an intruder to come in. So like there's this new fear and villain within the spaces with young people. And so they know, like they see these very sudden, you know, changes, like distancing. One interesting one we have is like our cafeteria. We don't use tables anymore. We use desks. And if that's not a shock to a kid, right? Like they're used to going to a desk and going to a table and sitting down, hanging out with friends, talking, right? No, that's not allowed anymore. And it's interesting because it's making these kids even more reserved. And it's getting harder to get kids to talk.
Jessica, are you hopeful that the fall will bring back things as simple as tables that kids can commune at? And maybe, you know, schools are quick to absorb restrictions to combat the new villains, right? Are schools as equally equipped to get rid of those restrictions as the villain diminishes?
I don't know. I want to think that, but I also am being a realist in this. I don't know how kids will get vaccinated, right? I don't know if their parents will want them to be vaccinated. There's already a struggle with so many buildings of parents not even reporting when a kid has COVID. So the more we don't take advantage of the things to try and battle it, the more this stays the same. I would love to have a fall, which is normal, and like football games and kids having pep assemblies and all those things, but I just don't see it coming. I don't know if it's just everything's kind of foggy as a teacher at this point because it's everything's so difficult and you're just trying to make it day to day. But with the fall, I just don't see that many shifts happening unless we as a society make some major changes. And I haven't seen those major changes happen yet.
We have just a couple minutes left. Matinga, I guess it's not a surprise now that in Michigan we saw an uptick in the number of teachers who were leaving the classroom. Can you tell us some of what you've heard from colleagues who have left?
Yeah, you know, they're not leaving for not loving the job. I think the stress, and Jessica, you can back me up on this one, is just the inability for their upline to understand the circumstances and to understand what we're just talking about, the idea of changing. For example, we're just talking about the high-stake test exam, and teachers are so incredibly exhausted of talking about how these tests are not only unfair, but they are just terrible filters for like future academic or even career success, right? When you don't see the upline understanding the circumstances, is very exhausting, and teachers are just feeling like they are pushing against the wall. Not to mention that now I am also doing a lot of culturally responsive teaching. You know, teachers now want to change the curriculum, want to change the way they deliver the curriculum to be more responsive, but it's really difficult to do that and still march to the beat of the testing drums. So I see teachers leaving not because they are stressed, but because they feel that they cannot be effective.
Jessica, did you ever consider leaving?
Yes.
What's keeping you in the classroom?
I think when it comes to, I mean, I absolutely positively love my students, and I love that I serve the community in which I came from. I know that there is a heavy burden on me being a Black teacher in a space where there aren't a lot of Black teachers, especially being someone who made it through the system that I work for. And so I think that that is part of it, but it just in all honesty, and I know it's not just me, I'm going to speak just for myself though. I'm tired. I'm really exhausted every single day. I'm not even teaching all my classes. I have an intern, and I still come home exhausted, and I'm frustrated because I, year after year, have talked about these things that have been so oppressive to our students before COVID happened. And I'm still talking about the exact same things, and things aren't changing. So I think for me and for many other teachers, we have given so much. We've given grace during this time. We've given understanding during this time. We've given money to our students. We've done the things Matinga said, those little things just to make a room work. And I don't think our society is realizing that we have nothing else we can give. There's nothing else I can give at this point. And I'm still being asked to give more. And that's why teachers are leaving.
Well, as a parent, and just as a citizen, I thank you both for continuing to care about kids and teachers and pushing forward and hopefully building a new model going forward, if ever so slowly. So thank you both.
Thank you. And I want to say before we go that it's very exciting to see what the kids are doing. If you go online for a minute and just kind of go look at what students are doing, if we would just follow their lead, I think they would show us how to transform learning for them. And I'm excited to see that. I'm hopeful, and I'm actually really, I feel really positive about what they're going to do in spite of what we can offer.
Matinga Ragatz and Jessica Matthews, thank you both.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.